Welcome to this portion of Vocal Points. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is a man named Wallace Henley, and he has a very interesting background, but he's written a book recently. It's called Two Men from Babylon. The subtitle is Nebuchadnezzar, Trump, and the Lord of History. And we are going to talk about, especially Trump, but we'll talk about this book. Wallace Henley, by the way, used to work in the Nixon administration as an aide, and he's also done a lot of work in a pastoral service. So, Wallace, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Jerry, thank you. It's a joy to be with you.
All right. Now, we don't know. This is, by the way, this is being recorded, to timestamp it, on December 3rd, 2020. As of yet, President Trump has not conceded loss in the recent election because there were just so many allegations of voter fraud. As of this recording, up to 1,000 sworn affidavits of, you know, I saw cheating here and I saw cheating there and, you know, whatever. And it's just like, after a while, it adds up. But anyway, Trump has not conceded. If he ultimately does not win, is this book still relevant?
Very much so, because in the book, one of the things that I was very fascinated by was the fact that in the book of Daniel, there's a very clear statement that it is God who changes the times and the seasons and raises up and puts down the leaders. So the great question now is, what's going to be the outcome? What's in the mind of God? All of this is tied to the advance of the gospel of the kingdom in the earth, Matthew 24. All of this is linked together, and I follow that through. I trace that out in this book.
Okay, so go ahead and just wax eloquent. Where does even just tell us, what do you mean by the book, the title itself, Two Men from Babylon?
Babylon is a symbol of the world system organized in defiance of God and without God. We saw a perfect illustration of that in 1979 and the launching of the European Union that consciously left out reference to its biblical backgrounds of its democracies. And so Babylon has become the symbol of that. Certainly it is in the book of Revelation. Revelation shows us a human kingdom and the outcomes of that. Daniel chapter 2 teaches us that God, either by his intentional will or by his permissive will, God allows or he raises up a particular person into office. So if Donald Trump was in office, he was there by the will of God. But as I write in the book, if Hillary Clinton had won in 2016, she would have been there by the permissive will of God as well. Everything is being done in the nations. The nations are crucial. In that wonderful Olivet Discourse, when Jesus is talking to his disciples on the Mount of Olives, and they're asking him about the signs of the end times. They've been stunned about the size of these massive blocks that made up the temple. And Jesus said, fellas, the day is coming when there will not be one left upon another. And they asked him, when will this come? And what will the world be like at that time? And he goes through an entire course of events that very much describe our times. But then he says what I think is the critical word in Matthew 24:14, when he says, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all of the world as a witness to all of the nations. And the word is ethnos, all the people groups. And then the end will come. So nations play a very important role in this great advance of the gospel of the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, Romans 14:17. Oh, may that come to the whole world. He says all of this is building up to that climactic moment, including the people who lead the nations. So in the book, I also ask the question, why would God raise up a Trump, a man who is a gambler? He himself owns gambling houses. He's been married three times, divorced. Why would God raise up such a man? Well, God raises up his leaders for his purposes. Sometimes he raises up by his permissive will. God will allow rulers to come into power who will lead nations through times of judgment, or who, in the case of perhaps Trump, cause us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's kind of apparently had an impact on his life. Or God will intentionally place in office an Abraham Lincoln, who has just the qualifications to be the great liberator in his time. So I'm watching constantly, and I developed this, Jerry, when I was in the Nixon White House. I was in my 30s on December the 5th. I turned 79 years old, but I was in my 30s in those Nixon years, and so I was very impressionable, and I was learning a lot of lessons, and I became fascinated with the way nations work and the way there's an interaction between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdoms of this world. And I wanted to trace that out some more. And that's what I do in Two Men from Babylon. So the book, my book, is very relevant for the post-Trump presidency, if indeed that's what we're facing. And as you noted, we don't know that yet. But whatever presidency is ahead, the book is tremendously relevant.
Okay. And who was Nebuchadnezzar, and where does he fit in the book?
King Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler of ancient Babylon in the time of Daniel. And the scripture talks about the fact that Nebuchadnezzar brings these people, the remnant of Israel, if you will, or of Judah, if you will, into Babylon in captivity. Israel, the northern kingdom, goes into Syria. But Daniel and his friends come into Babylon. And in Daniel chapter 1, here's one of the passages that really caught my attention. Nebuchadnezzar, this godless ruler that God has permitted to be in power over Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar appoints his Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were the shapers of political correctness in ancient Babylon, just as we have Chaldeans now. We have new Chaldeans now, who shape our worldview, or who try to shape our worldview without God. So those Chaldeans were to influence Daniel and his friends in the mode, the lifestyle, the worldview, the values of ancient Babylon without God. Daniel says, nope, not going there. I refuse to sit at the king's table. I'm not going to drink his wine. I'm not going to eat his meat. I'm not going to sit at the king's table. In other words, Chaldeans, I'm not going to let you program my mind. But Nebuchadnezzar is insistent. Nebuchadnezzar is a type of national leadership that spans the ages, leadership without God. Now, interestingly, Nebuchadnezzar winds up in a wilderness for a number of years and goes through a period of outright insanity. And it is in that period of insanity that Nebuchadnezzar himself comes to God and declares that God is the ruler and the true God. So what are the parallels between any presidency and Nebuchadnezzar, and especially the Trump presidency? Those are questions, again, that I pursue in the book. The great parallels is that the human being is always reaching for transcendence. We were made for a transcendent being, a relationship with a transcendent being, one who is beyond us, one who is above us, one to whom we are accountable. And thank God, the founders of America understood that pretty well. And so they put in the Constitution that even governments themselves are accountable to this absolute transcendent being that the Bible reveals as God. This occurs as God ordains the style and the types of the nations within the context of freedom. Freedom is essential, but freedom requires the ability to make choices between options. Therefore, God's permissive will comes into effect in allowing us to make those choices that sometimes will be wrong choices. But Nebuchadnezzar is the ruler of Babylon in that time, and there are parallels not only between Trump and Nebuchadnezzar, but between everyone who rises to that level of power.
Okay, we have about 5 minutes left, just to kind of get a little framework here. And I wanted to mention that when it comes to religious liberty, you see in the book of Daniel, there are times where Nebuchadnezzar was very strict against the Jews, and he restricted their liberty, and God did miracles, I mean, with an example with a furnace, the fiery furnace. But as far as religious liberty is concerned, Trump surprisingly has been very good, say all the Christian lawyers and, you know, and so forth, on the subject of religious liberty. Now, if there is a Biden presidency, it may not be so good as far as religious liberty.
Well, I'm very concerned about religious liberty and the support for life in light of a potential Biden presidency. And as we pointed out in the beginning of the broadcast, that's not yet been determined as we talk right now. But I'm very concerned about that. And one of there are numbers that sort of drove my evaluation of the candidates in this election. There was much about Trump that I did not like, but there were some things I did like. One of those numbers that arrested my attention was the number 60 million. And as you would know, Jerry, as a student of all the social trends, 60 million is the number of children who've died by abortion since 1973. And under Trump, this was coming to a halt. It was going to be slowed down. I'm very concerned now that number under a Biden presidency is going to grow. And secondly, a second number is 80%. 80% is the proportion of people on this planet who live in nations where religious freedom is restricted. And Donald Trump, amazingly and surprisingly, became probably the first president to approach this in profound detail and issued a statement of calling for religious rights in all of the nations around the world, and was willing to take some steps. Under a Biden presidency, I'm not sure what will happen to that set of executive orders, and I'm concerned about that.
All right, now, just a couple minutes left, and I just want to say I was thinking about one thing, and that is, there's a lot of anxiety right now, you know, again, as we're recording this, where we don't know how this is going to turn out. Will the cheaters get away with it? That's the way I perceive it. But it dawned on me that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that's not up for debate, and that's not up for vote. And people could wish away that all they wanted to, but they still have to deal with the reality. That is the fact. So Jesus, you know, is the winner no matter what. So following him is the winning strategy, even in good times, even in bad times.
Well, I'm speaking this week, in fact, on the topic, steady and strong in times like these. And times like these are described again in Matthew chapter 24. What we have to do is to lock our minds on the Word of God. Everybody lives inside a narrative. We have a storyline that helps us shape and interpret reality. The narrative that we live by as disciples of Jesus Christ must be the Word of God. And if we interpret these events in that line, we will have steadiness in the midst of these times. And the second thing is to walk in and by the Holy Spirit. If we walk by the Spirit, that means we walk by the parameters of the Holy Spirit's revelation in Scripture, in divine Scripture, not Wallace Henley's columns or anything else, but in divine Scripture. And we walk by that rather than human production. And if we walk by that, we will come to walk in that. That is, we will have the manifestation of the Spirit in our hearts, and he will give us light for the road and steadiness on the passage. We've really got to focus in on the Word of God and the reality of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Amen. Okay, 20 seconds left. Two Men from Babylon, that's the name of your book. Say what else you want to say that hasn't been said.
Two Men from Babylon is a book about leadership and the way the Lord sees leadership of nations and how he uses unlikely leaders to lead nations.
Amen. Wallace Henley, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you and all the best.
Thank you, Jerry.